At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, warmer from the bow. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coach Cousins with myself, Craig Eves Peterson, now part of the Beast and Family podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you. Joining me in segment number two is Sean Paul. He does such great work over at the Field of 68. He does an amazing job taking a look at so many things in college basketball, along with his just betting content over at Action Network. He's going to be joining me, and we're going to be taking a look at the Final Four. We're also, on top of that, going to take a little bit of a look at the NIT Final Four, and we're going to get some of his thoughts on these coaching moves that we have been seeing in the offseason as well in the final segment. Don't have any games for Monday, so I'm just going to give you my initial thoughts on the Final Four. It's what I'd be picking and analyzing in terms of the current numbers on the Final Four, subject to a little bit of change, but that said, give you guys my initial thoughts there, and then once we get to the weekend, I will certainly be breaking those games down once again if there's any changes that do occur, and we shall see if the line moves a tad bit as well. But I'm going to give you guys my initial thoughts on the Final Four in terms of picks and analysis in the final segment. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /X timeline at GNNR41. Keep in mind, letters M. Naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire on whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. All the questions center around, why wasn't there 57 fouls called on Zach Edey, what have you, as that became a social media firestorm on Sunday. So how about if we do take a look back at what we all saw in the 2 Elite 8 games on Sunday, try to find some trends and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
Games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
By the way, low-key, this has been a trend in terms of the Purdue games. They've actually been a really good team to the over thus far this season. They have played well north of 63% of their games to the over thus far this season. This was a rare under for them. They take down Tennessee by a count of 72-66, and as a matter of fact, for Purdue thus far this season, 23 overs to 14 unders. I'll just give you guys my 30 seconds here. This is a sports betting show, so I'm not going to go too far into this, but for Zach Edey, should he have been awarded more than one foul in this game? I even think that the biggest of big Purdue fans would agree with you, but if you're trying to say that, like, this guy sucks after he put up 40 points, 16 rebounds, I just don't know what you're talking about here. 72-66, Purdue gets the job done. Zach Edey was very dominant in this game. Once again, make of it what you will with the refereeing. I don't think that there's any collusion happening. If anything, I do think the referees have no idea how to officiate Zach Edey games. And just in general, if you look at the NCAA, there's so much incompetence. If you look at the women's NCAA tournament, they had 2 different lengths for the 3-point line out at the Moda Center, and that's the biggest tournament of the year for the women's side of things. So that goes to show you what sort of geniuses work for the NCAA, which I feel like we can all agree, whether you like Purdue, you hate Purdue, you're indifferent at Purdue, the NCAA has no idea what they're doing. Sorry, NCAA, but you have no idea what you're doing. But that said, just a really good display here in general from Zach Edey. You had Fletcher Lawyer chip in their 14 points. And for Purdue, they win this game shooting just 3 of 15 from 3. And it's not like Tennessee was bad from 3. They shot 11 of 26 from 3. And I mean, we all talk about Zach Edey and what he did in this game. Granted, it came on 31 shots, but how about Dalton Knecht and the way that he was able to connect? He went 37 points. And for Tennessee, they win the turnover battle by kind of 10 to 7. They just got plowed on the glass, though. 47 to 26 as for Tennessee, this has been one of the better rebounding teams in all of college basketball this year, but they just got absolutely destroyed there. And other than Dalton Knecht, nobody else for Tennessee able to put in their double figures. Edey was really able to take over this game late, as I believe he had a run of 14 straight points all by himself. But how about this team capturing the imagination as well? NC State needed a banked-in three in the ACC tournament against Virginia just to be able to have a chance to compete for the at-large bid that is handed out by the ACC for the ACC tournament. And without that, they probably be in the NIT. And now here they are going to the Final Four, 76-64. It's Survive in Advance Part 2 with DJ Turn It Up Burns. 13 of 19 from the floor. Big old Zach Randolph Jr. was able to put in their 29 points. You had Michael O'Connell only give you 6 points, but he was probably the second most impactful player in this game. No disrespect to DJ Horner at 20 points, but for O'Connell, 6 assists, 11 rebounds, did a lot of the dirty work for an NC State team that they held up on the glass. They do lose the battle by a count of 41-39, but they followed out Kyle Filipowski. Filipowski had 11 points, 9 rebounds, went 5-5 at the charity stripe, and for Duke, and James McCann also go 11 of 11 from the free throw line. He chipped in their 32 big points, but they had 2 points off the bench. For NC State, they actually won the bench points battle by kind of 10-2, and that was a big differential in this game, and this very nearly went over. There was a lot of late game fouling, so that could have very easily been overwhelming. Good to see those that took the under were able to get the under, but for NC State, just an absolutely Herculean run for this team. They have covered all but one of their games really in this run. They had that game against Oakland that, depending upon your number, you either push or you were not able to get a cover. If you took a very, very early opener, you might have been able to get there, but past that, I mean, it has been absolute dominance from this NC State team that, if you look at them against the spread overall for the season, even with this just big giant bonsai charge of a run against the spread, they're still just sitting there at 20-19-1 against the spread, which I do find that to be a little bit hilarious. But if you're looking trend-wise at what we're getting in college basketball thus far this season, it has been very much a year of favorites. We saw one favorite, one underdog be able to get the job done in the Elite Eight, but overall for this college basketball season, it has been favorites sitting at about 50.7% against the spread. We've seen 2,876 overs, 2,776 unders, with 2 unders hitting on Sunday, so the under is hitting at just 49.1% overall. But if you look at all tournaments across the last 7 days, we have seen things be very underwhelming. 17 unders to just 8 overs, with the favorites going 13-12 against the spread in the last 7 days. So that's what we're seeing in college basketball right now, and that's what we all got on Sunday. Hopefully, regardless of who you were rooting for on Sunday, that you did have a good Easter Sunday, and it's always good to be joined by this man, Sean Paul. He does great work over at the Field of 68 and Action Network. He's joining me next to break down the NIT and NCAA Final Four and take a look at some of these coaching moves that we've seen this offseason right here on Cus Cus Eats with myself, Andrew Peterson, now a part of the Houston Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Las Vegas with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast, and it is always a pleasure to get this man aboard. Sean Paul, he does such good work taking a look at this great game of college basketball, doing the mid-major show over at the Field of 68. On top of that, I know that he's been doing amazing work over at Action Network all season long, helping us make some money on these college basketball games. He has been dialed in what we've been seeing all season, and you can look forward to next year with all the coaching hires that we're seeing. You're able to follow him on Twitter/X over at Sean Paul CBB. That is S-E-A-N on Sean. And Sean, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you aboard, Sean. And Sean, it has been a very interesting last few weeks in college basketball that has landed us with a Final Four in which two teams were very much to be expected, with Purdue and UConn being able to make the Final Four. Alabama, a little bit of a surprise at NC State. A team that had lost 10 out of their last 14 regular season games, a complete and utter shock. Just how do you take a look at this Final Four, and how do you take a look at these two matchups?
I think you could see a different level with UConn and Purdue that you didn't quite see with Houston on the offensive end, to make you believe that those were the two best teams in college basketball all season. Obviously, we came in with Duke and Kansas being the 1 and 2 for most people, but UConn and Purdue, they've just done an outstanding job. You get a lot of returning talent with those two. UConn lost some pieces, but obviously Donovan Klingon and Tristan Newton, those guys are coming back this year after winning a national title. And then Purdue coming off a tough loss in the NCAA tournament to Fairleigh Dickinson. They're trying to pull a Virginia. Purdue will draw NC State, who came out of nowhere to make this run. And then you have UConn against Alabama. Alabama, obviously, that's an interesting one because coming into the tournament, they were one of the coldest teams in the country. I don't think anybody really saw them getting to this point. They've gotten a lot more buy-in on the defensive end starting in the second half of that North Carolina game. They changed things around. I think Nate Oates really out-coached Hubert Davis in that one. Him sagging off of Seth Trimble and Elliot Cadeau really changed what he did, and that led to putting Jalen Withers in the lineup. And obviously, he took a terrible shot late in that game. But when you have some guys that can run the floor and score the way Alabama can with Mark Sears, Aaron Estrada, Rylan Griffin, and what Jaren Stevenson provided in the win over Clemson was huge to come back in that one. If there's any team that can beat UConn, though, who's looked like an absolute juggernaut so far, it's a team who plays like Alabama, a team who's a lot more fast-paced than UConn. UConn runs a 315th fastest tempo in college basketball, while Alabama is top 10 in tempo. We saw with Creighton earlier in the season how they were able to beat UConn. They shot a ton of threes in that one like usual. They made a lot of them. It was an 85-66 win for the Blue Jays, 14-28 from three. You're going to need an A-plus performance to beat UConn. UConn went 3-16 shooting from three in that game. You need a performance like that if you're going to beat a team like this that's this good. You're going to have to shoot the cover off the ball. And if anybody can do it, it's Alabama. So I think the fact that they're matched up with them, it's going to be a really interesting game. I think they have a better chance of beating UConn, though, than I would believe Purdue has, just because I think Purdue plays a slower tempo as well. They have Zach Edey, who's obviously one of the best players in college basketball, dropped 40 points against Tennessee. They can shoot the ball, but I feel like they're too similar to UConn in a lot of ways. They're really overmatched in the size department in this matchup, if that is what happens. You have Spencer at 6'4", you have Newton at 6'5". Both those guys are bigger than Lawyer, Jones, and Braden Smith, so you have a lot of a height advantage besides Edey for UConn. So I think that'd be a really beneficial matchup for UConn. They just have to be praying that Alabama gets by them, and then we'll see what happens there. But the two best teams all year have been UConn and Purdue.
Yep, I do agree with you there, and I just take a look at this UConn team, and you were laying it out with regards to what might be some of the weaknesses for them, but that said, we're finding them as a double-figure favorite against Alabama, and do you think that this sort of a lofty double-figure line is warranted? Because at first, I was trying to buy in thinking, yeah, maybe we've gone a little bit too far, but just the more I watch this UConn team, the less I feel like they could be denied, and this has been just complete dominance, in my opinion.
I tweeted this, and obviously I'm not as old to see some of the teams in the 70s and 80s, but I think this is going to wind up being one of the best teams that didn't go undefeated in college basketball history. The dominance at which they're winning with in the NCAA tournament, average margin of victory of 27 points, is virtually unheard of. They are dominating teams. And you look at their three losses this season, all were on the road. Winning road games in college basketball is hard. Winning in the fog, Allen Fieldhouse, is hard. They lost there. That loss against Seton Hall is the most confusing one on the resume, but it was right before Christmas. That week right before Christmas is always one of the tougher things to win games in college basketball. We hear about it every year, so it's not surprising they dropped that one. And then at Creighton, they just had an awesome shooting night. UConn had a bad shooting night. But for me, it comes down to UConn had an awful shooting night against Illinois, and their defense stepped up, and they still managed to win by 25 points. Tristan Newton didn't hit a field goal in that game. Stephon Castle had 2 points. Two of their starters combined for 7 points, and they were still up by 30 for most of the second half. Going on a 30-0 run or whatever it was, that is unheard of in the NCAA tournament. The fact that they had that kind of dominance in the second half of that game just shows how good this team is and how fast it can flip a switch from having a mediocre game to having a dominant game.
Yep, I'm right there with you, and it's just been incredible what we've been seeing out of UConn all season long as Sean Paolo does a tremendous job. Taking a look at this great game of college basketball over at the Field of 68. Joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, and certainly with UConn, they have been the best team in all of college basketball. We shall see if Purdue, NC State, or Alabama is able to throw in them. But how about if we take a little bit of a look at the NIT, where the spreads are much tighter. Seton Hall is about a 4-point favorite against Georgia. Indiana State, 2.5-point favorite against Utah. And I know that a lot of people look at this as a secondary tournament, and certainly these teams are disappointed to not be in the NCAA tournament. But just how do you take a look at the NIT? Because I do think that for these four teams that are going to be in the NIT Final Four, it's a really good just building block for next year. And now that they're down to the Final Four, I feel like the sting of not making the NCAA tournament, it's gone. And these teams, they're going to be at their best, and they're going to want to be able to take down this title.
It's always the toughest in the NIT. Seton Hall got off really slow. They played a really solid St. Joe's team. They went to overtime. They're trailing for a lot of that game, but it was really tough back and forth late in the contest. And Alamir Dawes stepped up. He was kind of able to get them to that win. They dominate North Texas. They dominate UNLV, and now they're facing Georgia on a neutral court. For me, I think Seton Hall giving the 4 points. I'd go with Seton Hall there. I think they're playing at a really high level right now. And as I said, this is a team that beat UConn earlier in the season. Georgia has been really good in the NIT, which is kind of surprising because they lost like 11 of their final 13 games this season. But they've had a couple of really close wins. They almost gave that one up against Ohio State. They were up 13 in the second half. Same deal against Wake Forest. They were up 19 in the second half. The lead got to 3. And same deal against Xavier. They were up by 23 in the second half. And I believe it got tied or 2-point game late in that game. They ended up winning by 2. So they've had huge leads in every single NIT game in the second half, but they have blown a lead in all of them. That'll be interesting. I don't think they can get off to a huge lead against Seton Hall, especially with their elite defense, 44th nationally in defensive efficiency. You know that that team with Shaheen Holloway is going to play really tough on that end. Teams shoot a lot of threes on them, and Georgia is not a great three-point shooting team, but they take a lot of them. They'll need big performances from Justin Hill and Noah Thomas and the two super seniors on the roster, and then some help from Silas Demery and Blue Kane, the two freshmen. Who's going to defend Kadari Richmond in this matchup? He's always been a problem to defend for teams with the way he plays from the post. He's a point guard, but he's just so different than most point guards you see in college basketball with the way he wants to play. He's like a Villanova guard, just a lot bigger than most Villanova guards, so I think he'll be a really tough matchup for them. None of their guards can defend him. I think we'll see a premier performance from him. I think Seton Hall will move on to the NIT title game. And then the other one, I love how Indiana State is playing, especially with all the rumors swirling about Josh Schertz potentially going to St. Louis to take that head coaching job. Again, you can see it like last year, Providence in the NCAA tournament, they knew Ed Cooley was probably leaving, and they completely collapsed. Josh Schertz, he's just such a good coach, and if he leaves, some of these guys will probably go with him. And we've seen what we've seen from this Indiana State team all season long. They should have been in the NCAA tournament, and they've done nothing short of dominate in the NIT on the offensive end. They scored 1.36 points per possession against SMU, 1.1 points per possession against Minnesota, which is pretty light for them. And then they scored 1.20 points per possession against Cincinnati, a really good defensive team from the Big 12. They can shoot the three really well. Robbie Avila is awesome. He got going against Cincinnati. They have too many weapons for Utah to handle, but I think Davon Smith is going to have a huge game. He's a triple-double machine, one of the best triple-double getters in college basketball. With the drop coverage that Indiana State plays, I think Smith will be able to get a lot of shots inside. And the way he likes to penetrate inside and kick out to shooters, I don't think that will be able to happen as much against Indiana State. But he can live in the mid-range all day long, so he'll probably have a huge game. But Indiana State will win this one, in my opinion.
Yep, with Indiana State, they're playing out there in their home state out there at Hinkle Fieldhouse. That's going to be big for them, and I think it's just big in general for the program. And I'm not sure how you take a look at just things like these NIT, CBI, CIT runs, but I do think that's a good indicator as to what we might be getting out of these teams next year, because for Indiana State, they haven't had anyone enter in the transfer portal. Granted, for some of these guys, this is going to be their last ride, but I do think that it actually does build a little bit of momentum going into next year, and I do think that's very beneficial when these teams make these postseason tournaments that aren't in the NCAA tournament.
From the standpoint of a Cincinnati who lost Indiana State, and from a Georgia who has three freshman starters, Dylan James, Blue Kane, and Silas Demery, I think that could be huge. From a Utah standpoint, Davon Smith has just been awesome. They have some pieces that will return, but you're going to lose Brandon Carlson, but it's also good for him. He's a hometown guy, and he gets to leave the program with an NIT run, hopefully an NIT championship run for him. And then, obviously, Seton Hall. We'll see what happens with them this year. But, hey, just winning and getting guys to commit in the portal, that's always something. But they have a lot of seniors. Dre Davis could come back. Dylan Adewusu could come back. Kadari Richmond could come back. So if all the seniors besides Alamir Dawes and Jaden Bediako, who are out of eligibility, decide to run it back, then that'll be really beneficial for them. But I think a lot of the teams more so like Cincinnati and Georgia can build a lot off of it. Indiana State, we'll see it. I mean, they're a top 25 team next year if Josh Schertz is back and if all the players come back. But if Josh Schertz is gone, I can't see most of these guys returning. Just kind of the landscape we're in college basketball. You look at Drake, obviously Tucker DeVries went with him. Kevin Overton transferred. Connor Enright transferred. Pretty much the entire team is leaving. Same deal, Charleston. Ante Brizovich left, Ben Burnham left, James Scott and Rain Smith have already followed Pat Kelsey to Louisville. So it'll probably lead to a mass exodus in Terre Haute if Schertz is leaving there for St. Louis. But if he's not, then it'll be a really stacked team next year.
I do think that these teams, they're really building up some momentum, and I love to see it, especially for a program like Indiana State that would have much preferred to see them over Virginia. That's for sure, as Always preferred to see this man, Sean Paul. He does great work over at the Field of 68. He's joining me. And I'm so glad that you brought up some of the names that you did, like Drake, who they do lose their coach, and Darren DeVries. Tucker is going to be going along with them. And I take a look at this current coaching cycle, which, I mean, that has been very much enforced the last few weeks. Well, many people, including myself, have been very involved in the NCAA tournament. There's been a lot of schools that have been knocked out that they've been making some off-season moves. What have you made out of the coaching carousel thus far? And are there any moves that you really, really like? Slash, is there one or two that made you scratch your head a little bit?
Interesting so far, especially seeing how the Louisville search went. You had to go find some names there. Obviously, you couldn't go get Sky Drew, who was the guy that they wanted all along. It felt like some of the other names declined, but you're able to get Pat Kelsey from Charleston. I think he's going to do a really good job the way he's been able to identify talent at the D2, NAIA, D3 levels and come play D1 ball at Winthrop and at the College of Charleston, brought both those teams to NCAA tournaments. I think he's the kind of guy that can bring the energy back to a once proud program who's had a terrible past two seasons. So I kind of like that hire, even though I feel like it's been scrutinized quite a bit. One of the ones that I'm kind of interested to see how it plays out is Andy Enfield at SMU. He never quite got it going to the level that I think people thought he could at USC after the Dunk City run at Florida Gulf Coast. He made one Elite Eight at USC, but that was kind of it. He had a lot of talent there, just couldn't quite get it going. And it's another parachute job situation like we saw with Shaka Smart going from Texas to Marquette with still a couple of years on his contract. But if you had one more bad year, you're probably getting fired. And that was the case for Andy Enfield. So he was able to see the writing on the wall. USC was losing most of their team anyways. He figured, I might as well get out now and start a new thing fresh where I can have a 4 or 5 year contract or whatever it is and not have the worry of being fired next year and not coaching. But I think that was a really smart hire by them. At the same time, I don't think that Rob Lanier did anything worthy to be fired. If you're going to get a guy at SMU that was an Eric Musselman caliber of guy, and you could get that, then I would have been okay with it. But I don't think Andy Enfield is good enough to warrant firing Rob Lanier after winning 20-plus games and taking SMU to the NIT. I get wanting to start things fresh, going to the ACC, going to a high major league. But I feel like they did Lanier a little bit dirty there. But I think Rice got a really good coach out of it. Scott Pera had some up and down seasons, had a couple winning seasons, but just got really bad really fast. I think that Rob Lanier is going to stabilize that program, bring some talent in to a very high academic institution there, and they're going to be able to win games when he's able to get guys through the transfer portal. I think he's done a really good job throughout his coaching career at both Georgia State and SMU, so I think he could be a fantastic hire over there for Rice, who needs a winning coach. So that's one of the ones I like the most of the cycle.
Yep, I'm right there with you with Rob Lanier. I thought that he got a raw deal. Now, Andy Enfield has had success over at USC. He was able to make that Elite Eight that you pointed out. And I do think that there was a little bit of fair criticism and some of the step-up games for SMU, but he inherited a rough SMU program that you could take a look at the wins from the previous season, but that cupboard was very, very bare in terms of the players that were actually returning. I think they had lost like 5 out of his top 6 players when he had taken over, so that was a little bit of an issue. And I do think that in general, we're going to be getting a lot of interesting coaching moves. And is there maybe one or two coaches that you're looking at right now that has yet to be hired in this cycle that they could be a little bit of a game-changing coach and they could be heading elsewhere?
It's going to be Josh Schertz, who still is coaching the NIT like we talked about earlier. If he is going to St. Louis like the rumors have been swirling about for quite a while, I think that would be a fantastic hire. Just because we've seen what he did at Lincoln Memorial at the D2 level. He got Indiana State back on track really fast. They should have been in the tournament this year. They won over 30 games. And the style that he plays can win anywhere. 5-out offense, skilled guys all over the floor. You have to hope that if he's able to go to St. Louis, he'll bring Robbie Avila and Ryan Conwell and Isaiah Swope over with him. If those guys come and Jason Kent, if he brings this entire starting lineup that all has eligibility left to St. Louis, you could put them in as the number one team in the A-10 next year. I really think that's the case. You're going to lose some pieces with Dayton if Deron Holmes is gone, and VCU will lose Sean Bairstow. So VCU is going to lose some pieces. St. Joe's going to lose some pieces. Duquesne is losing some pieces with Day-Day Grant. So all the teams that were in the higher echelon of the A-10, they're going to be losing some pieces. St. Louis, who has some really good resources for the A-10, if Josh Schertz comes in, brings his entire starting lineup, which I'm not going to say will happen, but I don't think it's impossible. And I think St. Louis could easily win the A-10 in their first season under Josh Schertz, and that would be awesome for a program that had such a bad season and a program that's been used to having so much success under Travis Ford previously. So if Schertz is able to come in, bring his guys, I think they'll be top 25 caliber next season.
Yep, I think that would be a game-changing hire for a St. Louis team that you just expected more out of them the last few years. The last few years under Travis Ford, it was just a disaster. I think that is very fair to use that word. It just wasn't great, to say the least. And you bring in a guy like Schertz and just the two guys in general, what Andy Newman was able to do in CSUN in his first season. You're mentioning Josh Schertz, a guy that was over at Lincoln Memorial a few seasons ago. These guys at the D2 level, they can coach. We've been seeing a lot of guys being able to trickle upward and be able to have an instant impact. So it's going to be very interesting to see if more of these guys can get an opportunity moving forward. And we always make sure to give as many opportunities as possible on this podcast as Sean, because Sean Pauley does such amazing work taking a look at this great game of college basketball. Going to give you the floor here. Let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Twitter at SeanPaulCBB. I'm dipping into the MLB stuff a little bit this year for action, so you'll see some of that stuff from me. Yeah, there we go. Yankees 4-0, great start for my team over there in New York, but a lot of college basketball stuff, still a lot of portal stuff. You'll be seeing all kinds of content from me, so make sure you follow at SeanPaulCBB. You'll get a very regular rant on people who hate on Zach Edey, because I think that's the dumbest thing that I've ever seen. Purdue plays, you're required to get at least 10 tweets from me about how dumb people are that they think Zach Edey is just 7-4 and doesn't know how to play basketball. So you can find that there.
Yep, and that just goes to show that people in this world, they cannot have a rational thought. Certainly, probably should have been called for more than one foul in that game against Tennessee. I don't think that there's anything off base there, but anyone looking at a guy scoring 40 points and 16 rebounds in a game and calling him a bum, I don't know what to tell you. So there is that, and I do agree with you, Sean. It is dominance that we saw out of Zach Edey, and it's always dominance whenever Sean joins his podcast. He does such a tremendous job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love. So big thanks to him for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, Final Four isn't until Saturday, but we've got the opening lines up right now. I'll give you guys my initial thoughts on these Final Four lines as we do hit some bank shots.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Ghosts with myself, Greg Spears, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It was great to be joined by Sean Paul. He does amazing work over at the Field of 68, does an incredible job taking a look at all 362 D1 teams, big, small, medium size. He's got you guys all covered there and always lends good insights on this show. Big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now let's give you guys an early look at what we're getting in terms of the Final Four. I'll give you guys my initial picks and analysis for the Final Four as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Do you note that as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter/X feed at GNN_D1. We're going to go Alabama versus UConn first,
NC State versus Purdue. I don't anticipate massive changes coming here, but I do anticipate a little bit of line movement here, so we shall see what happens there, and we'll start out with Alabama versus UConn. I don't have a DK Network write-up pick quite yet. I might do one for both. You can bank on at least one. I'm also doing baseball as well, and those write-up picks are actually 4-1 against the spread to begin the season, so I mean, we like what we're seeing there, but that said, with Alabama, they're between an 11.5 to a 12-point underdog. The last game is 161.5. I'm going to be taking a look at the over just because with Alabama, they're going to give up their points. Alabama, in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis in a road or neutral court setting going into the Elite Eight, 341st out of 362 D1 teams. They just have not been able to guard a soul all season long, and it is an Alabama team that they very much rely upon jumpers, and being out there in a football stadium, being out there in Arizona where the Arizona Cardinals play, I do think that that's going to hurt them quite a bit against a UConn team that in their last 10 NCAA tournament games the last 2 years, they have won every one of them by at least 13 points, and that's a big reason why I set my spread at 12.5. That was a little bit of an intentional move that I made in terms of that spread, because if UConn was laying 12.5 points in all 10 of their NCAA tournament games last two seasons, they would be 10-0 against the spread. Donovan Klingon was so good defensively in that game against Illinois. Now, NATO is an intelligent coach. He is not going to be as big of a numbskull as we saw for Illinois and just continue to attack Donovan Klingon if he's affecting every single stinking shot. He's going to actually adjust to that, but the adjustment might need to be taking more threes, and like I mentioned, when you get out in a football stadium and you try to play basketball in it, first thing to go is a jump shooting, and for UConn, it's not even like they shot it well in that game against Illinois. They still completely dominated it. You've got Cam Spencer, you've got Tristan Newton, a pair of guys averaging a combined 29.4 points per contest. Spencer is able to give you about 3.5 assists, 4.5 boards, steal and a half per contest, while Newton, he can go off for a triple-double on any given night. 6 assists, 6.5 boards. Newton only shoots about 32% from 3, but Spencer is able to shoot 44% from distance, but UConn, one of the most efficient teams in all of college basketball on offense, they don't turn the ball over too much, and they're number one in the country in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis overall, and in games played away from home, they're averaging 1.6 points more per 1 hour possessions than the next closest team in all of college basketball. Thank you, even if we got guys like Hassan Diario being able to step up for the team. For Alabama, they're going to need to have a big night out of Mark Sears, 21.5 points per contest, leading the way there, though. You do have some guys with some relatively good balance. Aaron Action Estrada is able to give you 13.5 points, 5.5 boards, 4.5 assists per contest. For Alabama, despite the fact that Grant Nelson is the only guy on the roster that gives you north of 5.5 rebounds per game, they're actually a top 50 team with regards to rebound rate. They don't quite compare to UConn, especially with Alex Caraban, forgotten guy, who's able to give you 6-plus boards. He's able to shoot it well from 3-point range, but with Nelson, Aaron Estrada, Nick Pringle, they all give you north of 5 rebounds per game, and Nelson, really good versatility, doesn't shoot it from 3, amazing, but at the same time, he's able to pop 3s, and for Alabama, it's not something I think is going to be a big factor in the game, but each other top 5 scorers do shoot at least 80% of the free throw line. In terms of an over, I do think that that could come into play a little bit, and I am looking at the over. I do think that even though I think that Alabama is going to come up short on some of these shots, it is a team that they're going to be looking to run it and gun it, and if they do get down big in this game, like I expect them to, they're going to try everything humanly possible to get back into it, and Alabama fells a ton. So I did set my total 164.5. I like the over. Now with UConn, I'm going to lay up to 12 with them. And then the other final four game is NC State versus Purdue. This is 673-674. Purdue, as low as an 8.5-point favorite in some spots, as high as a 9.5-point favorite in other spots. Total on this game opened up more around 147-147.5. Now we're seeing mostly 146 across the board. I would still be looking to take the under despite the move that we've seen to the under. I set my total at 143.5 for Purdue. If you look at their last 13 games compared to their first 24 of the season, they're playing at a rate of about 4.2 possessions per game fewer than they did to start out the year. So they're really slowing things down. It's a Purdue unit that entered into the day on Sunday, number one in all of college basketball in terms of three-point shooting percentage. Again, with this being out there in the great state of Arizona at State Farm Stadium, I do think that the shooter's eye is going to be affected a little bit, but that'll affect NC State as well, and they're going to need Michael O'Connell to continue to be an offensive force for this team. In this run that they've had between the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament, he's really upped his scoring, averaging about 10 or so points per contest in this run, as he was very much a pass-first guy to begin the season, and he still is. He's still a really good facilitator overall for the season, averaging about 6.3 assists per contest. Certainly had a big impact in that game against Duke, where he had 11 boards. He threw out their 6 assists as well. well. And for NC State, the one thing that they do well, they don't hurt themselves. They're a top 15 team in all of college basketball. Turns a few turnovers on a per possession basis. DJ Turnitup-Horn is able to give you 17 points, and he's really their main 3-point shooter. Other than Jaden Taylor is able to shoot 36% from 3-point range among players averaging 6-plus points per contest, nobody else shoots above 33.3% from the outside. But here's the issue that NC State faces. You've got Muhammad Diarra, who gives you about 7.9 rebounds per game. Nobody else on the roster gives you north of 4.3 boards. You've got DJ Burns, Ben Middlebrooks combining for about 8.5 rebounds per game, and there's a lot of talk about Zach Edey and the amount of fouls that he's not called for, and there's no denying it. He doesn't get called for a lot of fouls. Part of it is because he's a Wiley player. Part of it is because refs have no idea what they're doing. Welcome to life. But you have to, if you're a sports bettor, take that into account. You can't be crying about the fact that Zach Edey doesn't get calls. You have to bet based on what you're seeing out there. And with Zach Edey not getting called for a lot of fouls, that means that NC State is going to have a miserable time down low, in my opinion, against them. NC State, while outside the top 150 in terms of their rebound rate, Purdue, a top 5 team in all of college basketball in terms of their rebound rate. Giant of the earth, Mr. Edey, 24.5 points, 12 plus rebounds per game. He's able to do an amazing job there. But don't forget about Braden Smith. Was a little bit silent in that Elite 8 game, but he looks to be back in full force after he had that injury that he suffered in the Big Ten tournament. He's registering 7.5 assists, 12.5 points, shooting about 44% from 3-point range, and entering into that Elite 8 game as well for Purdue. Out of their top 8 scorers, you had all but one of them shooting at least 35.7% from 3-point range, all but two of them shooting at least 42.5% from distance as well. Once again, I do think that that is going to be bogged down a little bit in this game, with this being played in a facility where football is typically held. So I did set my total 143.5 when at the under, but I do think that Purdue is able to get the job done. I set them as a 9.5 point favorite, so seeing as good as an 8.5/9 at current numbers, I'd be willing to lay with Purdue. Personally, I will just be, truth be told, tell you that I've yet to bet this because I do want to see a little bit of movement, because I would rather take 10 with NC State rather than lay 9. But if all I get is Purdue right around 8.5 to 9, like I'm seeing right now, I'll be willing to lay it and take a look at the under. And that will wrap things up for the Monday edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. A big thanks to Sean Paul. Does great work over that field of 68. He joined me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you'll find them two ways. Be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter/XTimeline at GNNR41. Keep in mind, Thursday, maybe does not matter. So, as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. Coming at you guys every single day throughout the college basketball season. That means I'm coming at you. Let's get them out. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.